school, an Aztec has a Waritan school. We are not at all alike. Mm-hmm. Albuquerque is so large.
That's
that
what I
we
meant.
Don't have the same situation.
No, I guess there probably wouldn't be.
For example,
if
Gallup has $130,000 profit coming into their system,
mm-hmm.
if their proportion of Indian children is, maybe they have 60% Indians in their school district.
Mm-hmm.
If that money is spread out over their district, it's helping those kids.
Yes,
what
I was thinking in terms of was other cities in other parts of the country where there is a large
population. Well, I'm slightly acquainted through reading and with a few conversations with the Minnesota situation.
That's
with
the
Indians flocking to the
yeah.
cities there, and really, really the urban Indians there are in a mess.
Do you know someone up there who would be very informative on the
subject? Yes, I know somebody up there.
Can you give me the name of the person?
Yes, let me give you his name.
I'd love to have someone
this guy can talk your head off about this stuff.
Well, I don't plan on going up to visit him, but I could write him a letter.
You respond. He was
great.
The head of the group that put out this little thing. Will Antel.
Oh, I know who he is.
I think he is still the state director of Indian Education in Minnesota.
He was down at the conference here last November. He was director of the National Indian Education Association. He's no longer. I don't believe he's president this year, but I think he was last. Right.
No, I think
of the
he
association.
Was voted out of that.
Great.
But this guy is on top of the Minnesota problem and is a strong enough figure in Indian education that he is quite aware of what's going on over the country, I think. He could tell you, for example, what's going on in California, where nothing is going on, where they haven't even had Johnson O'Malley monies for years. He knows.
Until last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or 70. I've written to Rupert Costo, hoping that he could give me some information on California,
yes.
too.
Will would be a good one.
But are these two related, Will and Lee?
I have no idea.
That's rather unusual.
Well,
they should have the same last
are.
Name.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Hmm. I'm going to take a, when we finish, I'll take a look at that.
That little piece of work right
That's
there
great.
Is one of the nicest things I've run across. That is a bibliography that Will got about 30, 40 Indian educators together in Minnesota in 68 or 69. They studied all literature that is concerned with Indians or by Indians, history, novels, the works, and classified the stuff. 2 stars is great, 1 star is better than average, and no star is worth using, and they didn't even list those that they didn't want to recommend. So when you see this, if you get a book out of this, you're not going to embarrass the Indians, because they've called them. It's great.
Are you acquainted with Rupert Costo's book on the I forgot the exact title, but it's on Indians in textbooks, American Indians in textbooks, which is published by the American Indian Historian Association.
Quite an article about that someplace where it showed quotes from all of our history books showing how it was degrading to the kids and this sort of thing. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, yeah, except that what he does is he compiles a list of, you know, something like 200 books which are used in both public and bureau schools. And then he reviews each one of these and says, you know, from specific point of view, sort of the type of thing as this, except that he includes all of the books which are derogatory
mm-hmm.
toward the Indians.
He shows even quotes as to why they are
yes.
running
around. Oh, yes.
I've read some, I didn't even remember the name, I've certainly read some work of this kind.
Right.
most of our history books in existence do this.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who have had a concern about this as we were growing up have been aware of this.
Sure. Well, this is a very detailed account. It's quite interesting.
Shows the derogatory things, which creep in without meaning to. A school administrator said to me last week, oh, we'd like to have Bordentown kids in our high school. We'd like to see if we couldn't do something for those kids. Then what? Tell me, why do these damned Indians think that they can just keep asking for more and more and more? Do you think I'd want to send our kids to that school?
What kind of response do you make to a comment like that?
I said, what they're asking for is damn small rent for this country, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
But do you think I'd want to send kids to that school? I wouldn't recommend it. They want the kids.
Sure, they don't want the kids.
On an intellectual level. But on a gut level, do they, when they can drop remarks like that?
Is it the kids they want or the money?
I don't know.
Well,
but friends of mine, dedicated teachers, master teachers, Doug, that I'd be delighted to have my kid in their class because my kids were blondes. Master teachers, no prejudices, you know, intellectual level, cannot quite accept a kid who would want to go home to a sing if he's feeling bad. Some of us are so strongly missionary oriented in the religious sense that if a person is not a Christian, he isn't educable.
Still,
and if they have that tiny little feeling inside, if the Indian kiddos are different in any way, it's in having a stronger ability to perceive that kind of feelings in us. And it's probably just not a natural thing. It has been developed as they've been pushed down and kicked around until I don't think I can fool an Indian kid into thinking I'm on his side. Completely can fool him.
That's very interesting.
He can feel it some way. You'll slip some way. You'll let him know. And I don't know why they have any occasion to really love us. So I'm glad they can see it.
So you sort of stepped in this job in the back door. You didn't want it, and you wanted to not hire
it. I wanted help with the kids.
Yeah.
And if I were going to be involved in it, yes, I would like, if we could have gotten it started when it started with these places, I would like to have been the counselor that Tommy is or the counselor that Mary Kirkland is. No, I didn't want Mary's job. I'm not that deeply interested in the Pueblo people. They don't need as much help as the Navajos do, the ones here close to us.
Mm-hmm.
They fit in the schools they were in down there quite well.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have some kids on the honor roll, we'll have some Aboriginal, and we'll have some kids in special ed from their group. Mm-hmm. There are still prejudices, don't kid yourself, against them, that having help down there is being helpful for the kids. But instead of trying to bring them up to the school's norms, we're trying to help them succeed above the norms, is the way I look at it.
Now, when you said there's still prejudice, you were referring to
peer prejudices?
On the part of
teacher prejudices? Administrator prejudices?
Okay, all the way down.
These exist in our society.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can get around it.
Of course, this runs like a steady thread all
mm-hmm.
through the coverage that my dissertation has, of course, you know, from 1928.
Give you a little old example of how this stuff.
I'd love to have an example. Yeah.
I'm a country boy. When I came to Albuquerque in 1939, there was only 900 students at the university, but I was lost. God, what a swarm of people there was in this town of 30,000.
Did you come to school here?
Hmm. On campus was a boy from the cotton patches of Las Cruces, a 6'2" black, a lost country boy. Fred Strait and I got acquainted. First Negro I'd ever known. He and I were both lost, running around by ourselves, you know? And a guy named A.B. Chavez, a Chicano from Albuquerque who wasn't lost, some way made friends with the two of us. And here was a Negro and a Chicano and a gringo that all three had strong prejudices that kind of got to be friends. Chicanos couldn't live in the community where I was raised. Indians could. But Chicanos and Negroes weren't in our community. Oh, well, we're prejudiced.
Which specific community?
Forest, New Mexico.
Between two computers.
It isn't even on the map anymore. We don't even have a school anymore.
Wow. It's all moved away. It was a farm area that had to move out.
Why?
Too many people can make a living there.
No,
quarter section, 160 acre farms, and it takes four sections to make a living over there. One out of every 16 families had to leave, and they're all gone. Starved to death. We're all living in town. Teachers.
The soil so poor, or what?
No, it's good soil. There's not a rainfall. Marginal farmland that should never have been broken out. My granddad said he helped to ruin the plains. Right. Beautiful ranch country. Should have stayed there.
Do they drive farm?
Drive farm.
That's what we do up in Washington State.
You're from Washington.
It has a average rainfall of about 9 inches where I came from, Central Washington. Mm-hmm. So they drive farm too, but
you have winter snows.
Yes.
That make your wheat crops.
Yes. Right.
When we had winter snows, we made wheat crops. Now our moisture, we average 14 inches a year. But ours all falls now in August and September. And I haven't got but one crop since 1942.
You mean the snowfall has been that different since that time?
We don't get much snow anymore.
Well,
if we do, it blows away.
But
prejudices that exist. I just had to tell you about old Fred and I. And what happened with this is I became a teacher here, and Fred was in the system, the Negro, after the war. And we still saw each other once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was fixing to leave town, go to California to a job, come up to see me at Manzano. I was out there at that time. And he says, John, when are your prejudices going to break down? I said, oh, Fred, don't guess they ever will. I didn't marry a Negro. I've never dated a Negro girl. I've dated Indians and Chicanos, but for some reason in my background, I just couldn't get myself into the other. And he says, we've known each other a long time, and you've never invited me to your home. And I said, Fred, when are your prejudices going to break down? We've known each other a long time, and you've never invited me to your home. He said, I'll be damned. He said, I've never thought about it. I actually never thought about it that way, Johnny. And I can see, as the subjugated group that Fred belonged to, why he would have should perhaps have been more reluctant to invite me to his home.
Yeah.
You know, because he has been a part of the group that were really pushed out.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a fair statement to make, and I had to say that to Fred. I can see there may be a difference, although there damn sure shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
But he had never invited me to his home either. Isn't that funny?
That's a very interesting story.
He is a nice guy. Wonderful person.
But there is a psychological reaction on the part of what you term the subjugated groups. Literally hundreds of years, they can't help but have a certain